Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kim Parr. This morning, I'm at the CARE annual meeting, and I'm with Frank Andrini, a CARE board advisor and a consultant in the recycling business. A little bit on your background, you spent most of your career with Mohawk, and you have a very technical background when it comes to fiber and carpet, right?
Yes. Actually, I spent 20 years at Mohawk, which was only half my career, believe it or not.
Okay.
And most of the activities were in product development in the last 7 years in sustainability, building sustainability infrastructures and putting sustainable materials into our carpet products.
So now at CARE, you're focused on trying to find market-viable solutions for post-consumer carpet. And the issue I think that you run into here is finding a solution that works, that can take a stream of fiber or ground up carpet and come up with an in-use application that generates enough revenue to pay the collector sorters for their efforts, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Two and a half years ago, when the infrastructure was being built for PET, the virgin cost of PET was high enough so that we could fit into the existing end uses for PET. And as PET and other commodities began spiraling downward, those choices became less and less attractive. We were concentrating in every single area that PET could go into and still goes into, which was strapping, thermoforming, films. But that requires very clean PET. And to get very clean PET, we have to process it quite vigorously prior to putting into that application. So as PET began spiraling down, those end uses began to look less and less attractive, so we began concentrating on other new technologies which required less recycling processing for the input product.
All right, so most people understand that with the oil prices going down, the virgin material prices going down, the value of recycled material is less now, and so you had several people present yesterday who have market viable solutions, and I'm hoping you'll tell us about a couple of them, that actually uses post-consumer PET, and it doesn't have to be pure, it doesn't have to be clean, because obviously the more processing that you do to it to clean it up, the more cost you add to it. So tell us about, like, for instance, the Yukon and the non-woven solution.
The technologies we introduced yesterday to the group are really breakthrough technologies in that they don't require clean PET. By clean PET or dirty PET, I mean the difference between something that could be extruded into a fiber that has to have no contaminants versus what we call a dirty PET, which can have some calcium carbonate and it can have some polypropylene backing entrained in it. So the technologies we looked at yesterday can take the minimally processed and minimally recycled PET as an input, which really reduces the cost of the end product. A couple of the presentations we had yesterday, just to give you a highlight, one was from the University of Connecticut, which has been operating over the last year and a half under a grant, an academic grant from CARE. They have made a particle board, which is 20% whole PET carpet, simply just shredded. We began the project with a very clean PET from shearing, but that got to be too expensive. And working with UConn and their technology, they found a way to put in just shredded PET that has minimal cost going into the particle board. And this is a highly engineered load-bearing particle board that can be used in the construction industry.
Let me add on that. They passed some samples of that around. I mean, this is a 4-foot by 8-foot sheet of plywood, or it looks like plywood, and it's constructed of pressed post-consumer carpet. And they showed several samples of it, but they're able to make a board that is structural, which, you know, qualifies to be a building material, and all testing is proving that it's working out, right?
Yes, and the other very important factor is that it's totally formaldehyde-free, and it can go to the highest load-bearing applications that construction industry has to have. A second technology, which we're real excited about, was from a company called Verdex. This is a new non-woven technology created by a very unusual new nozzle design that, again, does not take or doesn't have to take clean PET. We've been able to put in PET material that has all the polypropylene backing and about 5% calcium carbonate, and the rest is PET, and it runs well. So that this technology now has the ability to create a new type of non-woven product to go into filtration system, go into wipes, that has a potential of using millions and millions of pounds of PET carpet fiber.
And the process for the other linhens that might be listening, the process of entangling is air entanglements, and it's a microfiber, so you're getting very fine filters for, say, HVAC and for hospital masks. So this is actually working out pretty well, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. We've been able to marry that technology with a new recycling technology we found the past few months that is one of the lowest cost recycling systems that we've discovered. So the two together, when you consider the fact that you have a low cost of recycling to make that input product, then the low cost raw material goes into a nonwoven application that has a tremendous potential and a high quality filter, we have a win-win on both sides.
What does the delta have to be between the virgin cost and the cost of recycling materials for you to consider any of these applications to be viable?
You know, Kip, it's a great question. It all depends on the end-use product. Some end-use products can take more raw material input cost. Other end-use products have to take less. For example, in the nonwoven application we talked about, if you look at the cost per pound of a material that goes into a filter that you described, that's equivalent to $14 a pound. So if we go in with a 10 or 15 cent input cost into a product that ends up being $10 or $15 a pound, it doesn't have to be real critical in terms of what the input cost is. Mm-hmm. However, what is critical is that they have an infrastructure that can make millions of pounds of that quality to be able to make the end product.
Frank, one of the big issues in recycling carpet is, as we've mentioned before, the latex contaminants. And there are people that are considering making carpet different ways, so you have a single polymer or so that it unzips at the end of its life. Where does that stand?
Campia, you're right. There is a company in Europe who's bringing a new technology to the U.S., which will most likely be introduced this year, which is a 100% PET carpet, PET face fiber, a PET primary backing, a PET-based adhesive. I'm not calling it a latex because it does not have any latex or calcium carbonate. It's basically a layer that holds the primary and the secondary together. And it's also PET-based. And then the backing will be a PET pad. And all of it is what they call a mono material, so that at the end of the carpet's life, it simply has to be shredded, put into an extruder, and make a brand new PET pellet that can go into a variety of applications. So that's very close to being a reality in the U.S., and of course it'll be probably 2 or 3 years before any of that carpet comes back, but the company developing this process has already looked at how to recycle. So they've done their homework ahead of time to be sure that when they've introduced this new material, it can go into what they call the circular economy, so it could come right back into a brand new product.
All right, Frank, well, I appreciate the update on this, and I really appreciate what you're doing for CARE in guiding these different entrepreneurs, you know, into this organization so that they can further develop whatever their creative idea is. Again, we've been talking to Frank Andrini, a CARE board advisor and a consultant in the recycling business, and you've been listening to Kempar and FortDaily.net.